Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Talk about the VOD and the silver screen. Kevin and Tom and Joe know all there is to know, from masterpieces to deep fried tacos. And if the movie sucks, you might hear them say, there's no telling where the guys will take you. Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice, cause we already warned you. Better watch out.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 707, Little Orphan Annie, First Kill.
Hello. Oh,
that's a movie. I mean, hey, if we can get Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey.
What a weird, how does that happen?
Because it fell into the public domain.
Oh.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Look for the Real Spoilers, Winnie the Pooh short films coming out soon.
Oh, yeah, right. Wizard of the Oz, we could do that.
Yeah, Wizard of Oz has been out there forever.
Frankenstein and the Wolfman and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, we could make our own, what would you call it, like a monster?
Couldn't be any worse than what they did.
Well, it can be worse than Monster Squad.
Wait a minute, that's not what I meant.
That a computer?
Yeah.
Because that was weird.
No, that's not what I meant.
As we are joined this week by Real Joe, not as we like to call him, Fojo.
Fojo. Oh, wait, I meant that.
He wasn't here last week?
Yeah.
Surprise.
So we used computer software to emulate your voice.
It's too eerie, man.
It did really good, except sometimes it sounded like you were reading, and people were like, Joe can't read.
Yeah, we know better.
Yeah.
He just tries to wing it.
Yeah.
He doesn't take notes. It did, honestly, what it sounded like is I pre-recorded it.
Yeah.
And then Kevin spliced it in.
Which worked out great, which is why I was telling Tom the fact that we were having technical issues because we're testing recording video this week.
Right.
We were setting up for about an hour and getting everything right. And so when he said we're having technical issues, I'm like, well, that's perfect. I'll keep that in and I'll make it so that people will think, oh, well, Joe dropped off and then he re-recorded the synopsis.
Yeah. Sure.
So I think the through line of that helped. Oh, technical difficulties.
I think if I hadn't known what was going on, it was pretty. It's too eerie how it sounds just like me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it sounds like you reading a script or something.
I am not a fan.
Yeah.
But it was a pretty good episode.
No, come on. It was. Yeah, you guys did awesome. I'm sorry that I dropped the ball
and you
went
missed,
out of town.
You missed an opportunity to set a record.
Oh, did I really?
To completely blow up the Brad Hyen role. You could have shared that episode. And
I guess that's true.
Been in the League of
ask.
Show Sharers and have been on an episode.
It's a
man.
Whole new...
Maybe, yeah. I'll share it now. Let me do it real quick.
It's a brave new world.
Yeah, you really dropped the ball there. I was thinking it would be a whole new rule.
I was out of town and I had no cell service. And then when I got back into town, it was like, oh, by the way, we're going to blow your phone up. I had like 400 emails, and texts, and message, all kinds of stuff.
So let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. It's probably easy to fake me because I'm so monotone anyway.
Well, that's the problem. Is somebody doesn't know. We get it all the time. Wow. Is that Tom? Is that Joe?
I
don't know. I can't figure it out.
Shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google. Wherever you find a podcast, you can find us while you're there. Be sure and follow us so you never miss an episode. Maybe leave a review. That's always helpful. You can also find us on the Facebook, facebook.com/ real spoilers while you're there. Like the page, join the group. The group is called the League of Show Sharers because we're hoping you will share an episode. People who were kind enough to share an episode last week, and as you might recall, the week before.
If you're following along at home.
Yes. include Librarian Cynthia, Gabriel Lugo, Tammy Lynn Powers Betts. I'm starting to think she only got married so she could have a longer name to take up even more time in the League of Show Shares. That's my current
theory. I like it.
Theory.
I like it.
Julianne Jordan, Chris Falls, Ralph Tribble, Heather Sachs, Travis Tewitt, Chris Magic Man, Josh Rosen, Christopher Rex, David Rojas, Vertigay 314, Matt Naglia, L is Not Well, Batman, Rye Guy, Ronnie Castle, Binge Movies, In Session Film, Geek to Me Radio, Ryan Terry from the Forza Crowd podcast, Invasion of the Remake, Mike, and Oscar, Feel and Film, Control X, Spoiler Piece Theater, Minorities Report, and Chris Williams. And allegedly Joe has just shared, but I cannot verify.
I haven't yet.
But
no, he didn't even do it.
I retract that then. But you missed a wonderful opportunity.
I didn't even think of
to
the
torment Brad Hyen.
To circumvent the Brad Hyen rule.
And we all know how we love the torment Brad Hyen.
It's the best.
So it is the best.
It's the best.
America's favorite national pastime.
It's the best.
Oh, also we have a Patreon. Patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content and you help us out and we like you extra.
That's right. We're done. We have finished the Evil Dead.
Patreon's over. Do not subscribe.
Please don't.
It's done.
Wait a minute.
Per Joe.
We just had to buy a whole bunch of cameras and software.
No, take it back. So just if you are of the Patreon, just keep an eye out on the Patreon page and I'm gonna throw a poll up there. Since we finished The Evil Dead, about what's next, what you want us to do next.
The people.
Matt threw out an idea of doing Hellraiser, and I said no, because there's like 10 of them, and only 3 of them went to theaters. Mm. Yeah. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
So I want nothing to do with that.
Like Slapshot.
Well, wait.
There's like 2 Slapshots.
Is there really?
That are direct
There's like 2.
But there's the... Oh, you're saying there's 2 sequels.
Yeah, direct-to-video.
Misbegotten sequels.
Yeah, those are, because, man, Slapshot is wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
So good.
It's very of its time.
It is. Sure. Yeah, yes. it's like the Bad News Bears.
Right.
Right? Like, yeah.
You can't be giving free advertising to these guys.
Okay, also, don't cancel the Patreon. We got to buy stupid mic cubes.
Yeah. For... Come on.
But no, pay attention to the Patreon if you have the app or even online, and there'll be a poll. And you guys can decide what you want us to do next.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, I guess there's all that. Let's dig in, shall we?
This man. Okay.
See, that's what I was missing on the AI.
Yes.
I realized every time the synopsis starts, this movie, I was like, dang it, I missed.
You know how much you like Malignant?
Oh, yeah.
This is my Malignant.
Okay.
Because, this is not a good movie, right? Like, the 1 and 2 are not good movies. But they are so crazy.
1 and 2.
The Orphan 1 and Orphan 2.
So the 2 movies that exist.
Correct.
That we're talking about right now.
Yes.
There's no other 1 and 2. It's just this is 2.
Well, what? No, there's a first one.
Well, you're saying like there were 2 prequels or whatever. Like,
oh, no,
you're
no,
saying
no.
1 and
I'm
2
sorry.
Are not
you make it sound like it's this long established franchise. There's 1 movie and then 13 years later.
I did not mean that. I'm sorry.
Well, just to be clear, because I haven't seen the first one. So I was like, did I miss 2 of them?
No. So are you ready to be spoiled with the first one?
Well,
if he's seen
already...
the second one.
Yeah.
But there is like the spoiler in the first one is crazy.
Like,
yeah,
I want to know, because the reason I'm curious, even though I know the spoiler, is I want to see what the point of the movie is, like how they present. Is it about like creepy things are going on? You don't know if it's the kid or like what is the quick premise?
So the first one is Peter Sarsgaard.
One of them.
Is it Vera Farmiga?
Yes.
Yeah.
They're a husband and wife.
Okay.
And I think they've lost their daughter.
Yes.
Right. And so they adopt.
They adopt an orphan.
They adopt this orphan.
Which way?
Well, if you adopt a child that's not an orphan, that's just abduction.
It's called kidnapping.
No, they adopt an orphan, it becomes a non-orphan.
That is true.
If you're adopting someone, I guess they almost have to be
that
more,
is also
well, they
true.
Have to have no parents or parents that don't want.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't just grab a child.
Right.
I'm adopting you now. Yeah. You're mine.
That's called abduction.
I didn't title the movie. I'm just throwing it out there. That's why it's called Orphan.
So they adopt.
Why didn't they call it Adopted Girl, Tom?
Because it's too long.
Yeah. Nobody likes that. That's too, yeah.
Adopted.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
So.
Trademark real spoilers.
Yeah. So they adopt this child. And the entire time, things are happening, but the way it's
and you
paced,
know it's the kid. It's not
so
like
the
it's
audience
a secret.
Knows.
Yeah, okay. It's yeah. You know that the orphan is crazy and doing.
Oh, I'm sorry. The what?
The adopted child.
The adopted
the orphan.
I don't know what that in this context. It's like, I'm not sure what that means.
What's the? It's you can't use that term anymore. It's an adopted child.
Yes,
but they
was orphan offensive now?
No, not at all.
No, both she's
my
not an orphan.
Dead,
anymore,
I'm
no.
an orphan. Are you?
Well, but you're an adult. That doesn't count. You weren't an orphan when you were a child.
Someone made that joke on a movie or TV show, I remember, where it's like they're a grown adult, but their parents eventually died. No, I'm an orphan.
Well, there's in Mr. Saturday Night, it's like my favorite line in the movie. It's not that great of a movie, but they're...
It's the Billy Crystal one, right?
Yeah, yeah. And he plays like the old-time comic, so he's playing a guy that's probably supposed to be in his 80s, and and he's got a brother who's a few years younger, and like I think their mom's still alive, and she dies, and they're sitting around the table, and he's like, well, we're orphans. Yeah.
That's a good joke. It is a good joke.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know it's the kid.
Okay.
But they make Vera Farmiga look to be crazy.
Okay.
While right. she's trying to like, look, I'm telling you, like, it's this child. The kid ends up trying to like bang Peter Skarsgård.
Right. Okay.
Which
so
is also,
very
but
similar.
But she's the act. It's the same actress. It's the
yeah. I was wondering,
it's
man,
the
she's
same
like
actress.
20 something.
Yes.
Yeah. She was 14 when she made the movie, playing 10.
Correct.
And so now she's 119.
But that's the thing is, yeah. So they do all that. And then I think Vera Farmiga.
So the original orphan, before you know the spoiler, is very unsettling because there are some scenes where you're like, does this kid
10-year-old is trying to bang
does this
that 35-year-old
want
to
bang the dad?
Yes.
And then like and then you feel icky for even thinking.
Oh, I see, because you don't know the spoiler.
Right.
At that point.
And so like
okay.
and so like it's only got like a 58% on Rotten Tomatoes, which is really unfair because Orphan is a great trashy movie.
Yeah.
Right?
That's what I mean by it's my malignant.
Oh, and it was 13 years
yeah.
ago.
Yeah.
I didn't know it was 2009.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
she really
yeah.
was a child actor.
Right. Yes. She was 14 at the time.
Legit
playing 10.
Child
and
actor.
They somehow made this one a prequel and she still looks like a kid. Like that's impressive.
She's got well, very young features, but
there's a lot of
it's practical though. It's not the aging. They use body doubles and they shoot it from weird angles.
I think a lot of the cast wore like platforms in their shoes when they did when they would.
So
like,
she's not really short. The actor is
I don't know. She might be short, but she's not like
kid level short. I mean,
right. Yeah. She's not that short.
Because I think I read the actor is 5'3", which is not unusual height for average female.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but I was wondering, I that's really clever. I mean, because I will tell you, I again didn't see the first one, but watching this one. And knowing that the actor was in her 20s,
yeah.
I'm like, wow, they did a great job.
See, I was distracted by the magic trick aspect of it.
Agreed.
For the first 20 minutes.
Because
I was just like,
how
I could
do this.
I could see how they did it very well.
Mm-hmm.
But I was also just, I had trouble getting past the idea of like,
them
I just
want
to watch how they're doing this
there were
and
weird,
not watch
there
the
were,
movie.
Oh, I
there
see. Were some, in the, I think I agree with you, in the very beginning, probably the first half hour, there were some awkward cuts.
Yeah.
To where they could get the child actor into the frame.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting, because I don't know why. Maybe because I hadn't seen the first one and I was trying to wrap my head around what was going
right.
on. But I watched this and I was not taken out of it at all. I just thought.
Yeah, that's.
Well, I think that's the advantage of not seeing the first one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't know like how they did it the first time and how are they going to do it 12 years later.
The first time because she was 14. She
yeah.
was 10.
Yeah. She still looked 10.
That makes a lot more sense. See, I'm thinking Orphan is some movie from like 4 years ago.
Yeah,
and
no.
she grew up a little bit.
Yeah,
but,
no, it's
okay.
been a long time.
Well, that is extremely impressive yeah. with the same actor.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is,
so. I know the first one like doesn't have great reviews on, you know, like I said, at 58%. And I think my theory on that is because I remember watching Orphan and spending the bulk of the movie going, well, that doesn't make sense. like that kid wouldn't know how to do that.
Sure.
Like, that
sure.
kid, like you're making this kid have basically superpowers in order for this story to work. And like, I really like that's.
But you don't fall into like horror trope of like sometimes there's just kids that are creepy and do like.
Well, it's not about being creepy. It's about her skill level.
Right.
Right. So she's spoilers. She's like 35.
Right.
She's not 10. She's yeah. got she's got that disease that makes her not age.
Apparently,
so,
it's a glandular issue is what
who
they
were
say.
The, wasn't there an, who was the actor that had that?
Benjamin Button.
Yeah. It's not. That's Brad Pitt.
Oh. See, that's movie magic. That wasn't Brad Pitt. That was Benjamin
right?
Button.
Benjamin Button. No, Webster, right?
I don't know if Ellie it was Harry. A non-aging thing, but but
was it just a height thing?
I think it might have just been a height thing.
Okay,
but
who was the other one?
Gary Coleman?
No. Oh, yes.
Emmanuel Lewis was Webster.
That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah, Emmanuel Lewis.
Michael Jackson carried him around like a toy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Connect those dots. They're pretty close together for you.
They're not tough.
But when you get to the reveal, like now you're like, oh, this movie isn't dumb at all.
Right.
Right? Like this movie's really smart.
Right.
And
she would have those skills.
Right. It's not crazy that she, you know. And now it's like also, oh, now I'm not a pervert for thinking she wanted to bone the new dad. Right. Like that's, like she's 33.
Yes.
And she wants the date.
Right.
And like also, like, how frustrating would it be if you had that condition, right? Because any guy that wants to bone you is immediately a pervert.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like that Groucho Marx line. I wouldn't want to join any club that would have someone like me as a member.
Right.
Like, any guy that wants to have sex with you, like, is
you're a creep.
Is immediately ruled out
you're a creep.
For being disgusting.
There it's was, tough. Here's your comic book reference to that reviewer guy. In the comic book Invincible, there's a character called Monster Girl, and she stopped aging at like 14.
Oh yeah, I mean I've watched the show.
Oh, okay, yeah. So Monster Girl it's the same thing, right?
Yeah.
Where she can't age. And she's like 37.
Right.
And she can't go to the bar. She can't date a boy because she may look for it. So she can't date a 14-year-old,
right.
But she also can't, you know,
the Eternals.
Yeah, she's not.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Sprite.
Yeah.
She's not a vampire in Twilight.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. But yeah, so then that premise of that movie is like Vera Farmiga trying to prove that Esther is not normal.
Yeah.
Got it.
And they kill her at the end of the movie.
I thought they did.
Yeah, because she's...
They kill Esther?
Yeah.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Which is why they had to do a prequel, right? Like,
right.
Like, because they, I mean, they
yeah,
very...
I mean, I've seen enough horror movies. They're like,
but
yeah, she
they,
was fine.
No, they very... she they're, they like run out of the house in the woods and they have this lake.
That's right.
And or pond, and like the pond is frozen over.
She falls through the pond.
She falls through the pond, and then Vera Farmiga is like trying to get off the pond because it's cracking underneath her, and then Esther pops up and grabs her her leg, and then Vera Farmiga says, she's like, "Mommy, help me," and Vera Farmiga is like, "I'm not your mommy."
Such a great, it's a great line,
and then kicks her in the head.
Yes,
and like you see her neck snap
against
like the
ice.
Other way.
Yeah, okay.
So like,
if she's not supernatural,
no,
so
right? Yeah,
she's
just there's person. Nothing. Yeah, there's nothing supernatural about this franchise, and so she like you see the neck go completely the wrong way, and then she sinks to the bottom of the lake. So like,
game over.
There's no.
The only thing I will say is, have you ever seen the Halloween movies?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
what kind of dumbass question is that? Yeah, I've seen them all a bunch.
Well, no, I'm just, to Tom's point, that dude gets just...
He's not even as bad as Jason Voorhees. The Friday the 13th are the ones...
But at that
like,
point, then you've completely changed what this franchise is about.
Totally.
Yeah. Right?
Like they slid Jason's face down a machete, and they're like, oh, yeah, he's back for part five.
Yeah.
I like. I think it's kind of cool how there isn't a supernatural element, how this is a serial killer.
Or basically.
Just a murderer. And
he's a crazy sociopath. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The only thing I will say is that the title... First kill. I don't think this is her first kill.
Well, we know that it's not because they show you the first ones and when she's in
she's
the sanitarium.
Been she's been a killing.
Yeah. So yeah, this one we've got Julia Stiles, and who I was like, oh yeah, you were a thing for a hot minute.
This is like her return.
Is it?
She hasn't. I don't think she's been. She's been doing maybe TV, but she hasn't been
in
film in a while.
I know that.
Yeah, she hasn't been in film. I mean, I'm not saying 20 years, but she maybe the Bourne movies. I haven't seen her in film in a long time.
Yeah. Save the Last Dance. That was the last time you saw her. I can't back that up. I don't think that's right. 10 Things I Hate About You.
So she was in a TV miniseries called The Lake? Or TV series called
The Lake? Was it for Netflix, I think?
I don't know.
All right.
And then she was
Prime.
In something called Dragon's Nine Realms.
Can't be
she
good.
Was a voice.
Oh, okay. That seems fair.
And then The God Committee?
Uh-oh.
Is that one of those like mega church movies?
I don't know. Like, Red Flag.
Oh, it's got
her. Is it Kirk Cameron?
It's got her and Kelsey Grammer in it.
Okay.
And Kelsey Grammer has hair.
Oh.
An organ transplant committee has 1 hour to decide which of three patients deserves a life-saving heart. 7 years later, the committee members struggle with the consequence of that fateful decision.
Well, it's
sounds interesting.
It's hard to not like see anything that Kelsey Grammer is in because I love Kelsey Grammer. And anytime he's on, it's like, oh, yeah, I'll watch that. I watched a movie called Money Plane. You ever watch that?
No.
It's terrible. It's like about a flying casino. And Kelsey Grammer is like the guy that runs the casino. It's got edge
in it.
Is
it so they're not, they're like in international waters, basically?
It's got edge in it from the WWE.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
There we go. I mean, is that as good as those Triple H movies?
It couldn't be worse.
She's also in the Bourne Stuntacular.
Like, what is that?
Oh, like they record a little pre-show footage or whatever for the ride.
Yeah, I'm assuming it's like Universal Studios Omaha.
I was hoping it was like an Indiana Jones stunt show.
No, that's what replaced T2. There's a Bourne stunt show.
Now. Oh, okay.
So that's cool. They got them to record the video.
I was
video
hoping
segments.
It was like an Indiana Jones stunt show.
Oh, she was in Hustlers.
Yeah, I don't remember her being in Hustlers, but...
Oh.
Maybe
that's
wasn't.
The Jennifer Lopez one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So this one, I thought it was just going to... It felt like it was just a rehash, right? Well, we should say that we're first introduced to... This is basically Halloween. Like, it's the opening of Halloween. I don't know how else to describe it. We've got a new psychiatrist coming into the hospital... And we're introduced to Esther, and Esther has already started to like play.
Who is Isabel Furman is the actor who plays
yes,
her,
thank
and
you. Yeah.
Apparently from the original.
It is. Yes, it's the same person. She has already started to like work her magic, basically, inside this insane asylum. She's got the one gal who she like jingles a bell or something, and she freaks out and attacks everybody.
She
and she's
candy.
Like, here's a piece of candy, and then throws her. And
she'll
then she'll
do
okay.
anything to get a candy.
Right. So... I do like
It's like, what would you do for a Klondike bar?
I'm going to go beat
what
up that...
What would you do for a Tootsie Roll?
I'm
going
to go beat up that prison guard for a Tootsie Roll. So Esther, manufactures an escape.
Who is... What's her... Lizzie? What's her real name?
Lizzie Borden.
No.
Yeah. I'm going to call her Esther because that's what she's called in the movie.
Yeah. But they say... You know, they say it...
They give her
Lizzie
a different
something.
Name in the very beginning because
real
she's,
name.
We find out that she has already murdered one family. And they're just like, they just put her back here. We just don't know what else to do with her, so we brought her back here. So she breaks out, and she follows the psychiatrist home. She kills her, takes her gear, and we do find out that the scars on her neck and her wrists are because she pulled so hard against her restraints that's what caused these scars. And it's the level of like, oh, that's why he's called Han Solo?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. That's the origin story that I needed.
Yeah.
Is why she has scars on her neck and wrists.
Yeah. It's kind of a throwaway, though. I don't think they spend a ton of time.
No. But I just thought it was a weird thing to.
There's a lot of fan service mixed in this.
Yes,
they explain
there are.
Why she does the paintings the way she does.
Right.
And yeah.
So.
But I really like this was kind of a psycho thing. You're introduced to the new psychiatrist and you think that's going to be the main character.
That's fair.
And they kill her off. So
no, then we're not.
She's yeah. Not so I kind of like that misdirect that they did in the beginning because she is introduced in a way they usually wouldn't film the main character.
Right.
You know, it's following her. And
or you think that she's going to. Yeah, right. She's going to be the one that's going to be like, oh, no. This gal's crazy. And then, you know, has to like track her down or whatever.
This movie had a bigger budget. That would have been a total stunt cast.
Absolutely.
Right.
Right.
It would have been like Drew Barrymore and
yes.
Scream. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Or what's her name in Psycho?
Yeah.
Janet Leigh. So.
Lena.
Lena, is that what she's called here? All right.
It's her real name.
For about 10 seconds. Yeah. And then she writes Esther in a book.
Well, it is an origin story.
That's true.
So we should mention at least.
So Esther I feel like she goes to. Google, because they can't call it Google,
right?
And she looks up like missing children. Is that what she does?
Yeah, she goes to a missing children's website.
Okay,
and is like, oh,
this one looks like
here's
me.
One that's
this
identical.
One, this one looks like me. I can
here's
pull that
one
off.
From a photo when I was a child.
Right.
She looks just like that little girl. I wonder if they did use her.
I, you know, here's the thing about this plot. I don't know how they don't get sued. I think there's a certain family in Boulder, Colorado. That may have a bone to pick with the creators of this movie.
Did something like this happen?
I mean, this is kind of the JonBenet Ramsey case. This is the... all right.
Oh, but not the adopting an orphan part.
No.
But
yeah.
I mean the twist.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
I see what you're saying.
Some people's theory on what happened.
That's kind of the
okay.
The major theory as to yeah. what actually happened to her.
Well, maybe that's, I mean, an influence, but I mean.
Well, the only way they could sue if they said
if
yes.
I admitted, that's what I'm saying. Because
it is what we did.
That's
well,
what
they're all dead, right? Except for the brother?
The mom
well, I know JonBenet
right?
is, but I don't know about the rest of them.
The mom isn't.
Oh, my God.
I mean, everyone.
Sorry, I thought you knew.
Surprise.
Yeah.
Everyone thinks the mom did it, right?
No.
No, they thought the brother. They thought the brother did it.
The brother did
they
it.
They thought
oh,
the brother.
And the parents,
at the time
and the parents
that,
covered it up.
Oh, okay. I thought at the time everyone was like. The mom
I mean, that's okay. probably what it
I
was.
I didn't hear the theory about the...
I think it was okay. the first people thought it,
everyone
it was
like,
then
oh,
they pivoted to the... Okay. But I thought there was something that exonerated the brother that, like... I don't know. I have never followed it that closely.
But yeah, you would have to. I mean, what
That's
are they going to do?
Yeah, hey, the brother would be like, hey, I need to get royalties for that story. Why?
What? What? Plus, if that's all it took to get sued, like, Law and Order wouldn't exist.
Well, I guess they put in the front of theirs are, like, loosely based on true stories.
Well.
Right?
But that doesn't absolve you.
I guess that's true.
But I think unless...
There's something about public, if it happened
news.
You know, you can make movies without the family's consent when you make a so-and-so movie, whatever.
Can you?
Yeah, like, you can make... When you're a public figure, you're in the public... I don't know what the legal term for it is, but people make true story type movies about things. You know how you get competing movies of like,
yeah,
this happens.
Like when Amy Fisher shot Joey Buttafuoco's wife.
In the face.
And you get Lifetime and everyone rushing to make the movie.
Joey Buttafuoco, Amy Fisher movies.
You said Amy Fisher, and I went with the gal that cut her husband's... off.
No, that's that Lorena Bobbitt.
Yeah.
And John Wayne Bobbitt.
Yeah.
It's a short movie.
Hey!
coming through. That was pretty good.
But yeah, so like there were like three of those simultaneously. Like
that's true.
And the family isn't like approve.
Because it was like Drew Barrymore played her, Alyssa Milano played her, and somebody else. But
Exotic stuff. There's two of those. They don't approve. Yeah. None of them like the way they're portrayed in that stuff.
So, okay. Well, but you can't make a Steve Jobs biopic.
They made two of them simultaneously.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, and one is based on a book, and one is just a screenplay or something, right?
Okay,
Yeah, you can. It's just you can't use... Okay, if you wanted to make a Michael Jackson movie, like they never have made a big Michael Jackson movie.
Right.
You can't use the music, right, which is what makes the movie, without their rights.
Which is like Jimi Hendrix movie that came out a few years back, but they didn't have the rights to any of the songs.
Oh, that sucks.
I think they... probably danced around some because some of his biggest hits he didn't write, so they could license them and that way.
But that
was the running gag on 30 Rock, where the Gene Krakowski character was in a Janis Joplin biopic, but they didn't have the rights to any of the Janis Joplin songs.
Yeah. Well, that was always the thing about the Sacha Baron Cohen Queen one, right? Where they're like, yeah, you can make a story about his life, but you're not getting any songs.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, well... I guess we can have Rami Malek lip sync and win an Oscar. So she gets away. She finds this picture of this girl. She sets herself up to be found by the police. And they're like, she's like, my family's in America. And they ship her back to America.
I love the twist. I don't know if we should just spoil it now, but
I think the twist is great.
The twist is great.
Yeah. Love the twist. So I cannot believe they came up with this.
I thought this movie was like a fairly mediocre retread.
Yeah.
Until about 45 minutes in when they flipped the script.
Like the first one.
Yeah, although the twist in the first one comes much later.
That's true.
Like, I mean, it comes like in the last like 15 minutes, maybe 20. But this one comes about halfway through.
Which is just crazy.
Because I'm asking the questions the whole time, like, wouldn't they know? And then I'm like, well, she's older. Like, I keep trying to ask myself,
would
you only fly
been...
there first before you get some kind of a video evidence or something?
Because they're saying that she's been gone for four years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, okay.
But I'm just saying it seems very much like I'm just going to fly to this other country without any kind of other confirmation, whatever. But when you know the twist, it doesn't matter.
Right.
And the fact that they've been playing along the whole time, you should probably watch this movie because the twist makes it.
You should watch both of them. I do. I think you should watch both of them in order.
And they're worth watching.
Absolutely. Paramount, yeah, sorry.
Someone who hasn't watched the first one, I don't think you need to. I'm not saying you shouldn't, and I want to watch it eventually. But
I think you will enjoy the process. If you somehow already don't know the twist of Orphan, you would definitely
enjoy the twist, maybe hold out then on these. But I think as someone who knew the twist, I enjoyed this movie and didn't find myself going, well, I don't know what that's a reference to. You know, this movie played pretty well without knowing.
Sure, yeah. Cool. Yeah.
But yeah, maybe... We'll just say we recommend watching this. It's a good movie, and
this is one of those ones where don't listen to this yet.
Yeah,
like let's watch both of them, or at least the new one before you listen to this.
So spoilers:
we know that the real daughter of this family was murdered by her brother. her real life brother, and then the mom had to, the mom and the brother covered it up,
and the dad, dad,
and the
does
dad
not know.
Is clueless.
The dad thinks the daughter has just gone missing.
Yeah. So he has, like, there's this cop that keeps popping in every once in a while who's like,
so the cop, which this didn't make sense to me either. I'm like, why is that cop so
suspicious?
Does
this cop care?
Well,
yeah.
Clearly the cop 4 years ago, something didn't sit right, and he's been suspecting,
like,
foul play.
Yeah, like he basically knows that
this is
the
this
brother
is
did it, but he can't. He doesn't have evidence.
Right.
So he comes around, and you see later on in the film that there's a little bit of a conflict between him and the brother. And,
yep.
And it's like he's been investigating this.
So this Russian cop is like, where is your family? They're like, in America. And then they ship her. They show up at their son's fence. This cop shows up at a fencing tournament. And Julia Childs is like, man, what's this jerk off?
So here's the fencing tournament.
Yeah.
Hats off to the fencing tournament scene. Because normally in a movie like this, when they show a kid playing some hyper niche sport,
yeah,
they still are in an auditorium with like hundreds of people watching.
Sure.
And in this one, there were like 20 people in there watching.
That's all they could afford.
Watching fencing. Yeah, right. And I was like, that makes sense.
No, I do also
no
appreciate...
one's watching. You're not going to have like 800 people going to a fencing tournament.
Not even at the Olympics.
Right.
Do they get 800 people for a fencing tournament? But I do, it's fun because
I was like, why are they on little tethers? I don't understand fencing, so,
why
are they on?
Because their suits have electrodes in it.
Okay.
So when when you hit them, it sends a signal.
Oh, so you know you've been hit?
So you know you've been hit.
Okay.
So it sends a signal to a box
cable.
And it says, hey, you got
big. Okay, got it.
Yes.
So that's what they're for. Because I'm like, do they pull them back if they're stabbing too hard? What is that?
Rock'em sock'em robots. Hey. We're like, oh, whoa. So, but I also, sometimes in these movies where you get people playing, like you said, rich kid sports. And I was like, oh, fencing would be a rich kid sport.
Yes.
Which is one you don't see very often. I was like, well done.
Lacrosse. Well
done. That's the other
fencing.
One. I was thinking rugby. Maybe.
I don't know about rich kid sport.
Lacrosse was the other
Lacrosse
one.
Lacrosse is one of them more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
insider trading.
Yeah, right. That's a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they.
And their house is massive.
This house
is
crazy.
That's a castle?
That's an estate.
Yeah.
In
America, I was like, where is this? Where are you?
They're
like,
Connecticut, aren't they?
Well, I guess that makes sense then. All right. Never mind.
But like that house was.
Yeah, it's.
When he
I call that
for,
a castle.
Especially
when I see a house like that.
For now three people.
Sure.
Right? Like,
there's no way this was filmed in the United States.
I don't know.
I don't think so. I mean, just looking
big
at
houses like that.
Not like
there's
that.
Big houses by us like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
The stone and all
if
that.
Go drive down Clayton Road going
I
east
guess that's fair.
And see what kind of houses you run
this
into.
This is filmed in Winnipeg.
Yeah.
See? Told you.
Okay.
Okay. But
there are castle houses down the street from us. Yeah.
So that, the cop says, we found her. And they walk her back through and Julia Stiles. It's interesting the way that Julia Stiles plays it because you can. Play it two ways. You can play it. You can read it as like she's like, "Oh my god, they found my daughter," or, "Oh my god, what am I gonna do?"
But you don't the first time. This is like
right.
a Sixth Sense situation.
It's like Get Out.
Yeah, go watch this again.
Yeah.
And now, because I'm thinking back to the way that Julia Stiles portrayed that, like you were saying, and it's like, oh wow, she's not worried about like, oh my god, my daughter.
Right,
she's
right.
thinking how or
right.
what is happening here, and the fact that she plays along again, I think it's so brilliant. And the way they flip the script, where I'm thinking, okay, this movie's about this crazy serial killer posing as a little girl, and I'm like, wow, the killer's being blackmailed.
Yeah.
It's
right.
such a unique premise for this type of movie.
And they find a way to get you to kind of root for her.
Well, they're worse than her. So
right.
you're like, it's so weird.
They don't
it's,
breathe toot it. You know, where you're just like, wait, I've got to root for the guy that had
was
a girl,
like, excuse me.
The girl chained up in his basement with a turkey baster?
Yeah.
That's the good guy now?
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, so I think it's really smart. And it's like when we talk about mob movies or whatever. Two bad guys and you want the better bad guy to
right.
win. So now you're talking about several murderers and you're like, yeah, she's bad. We know that the orphan is bad. And,
right.
But it's like, wow, these parents are horrible. And especially
well, the parents aren't horrible.
Well, no, the mom is.
Right.
So
yeah,
the mom
yeah,
and the brother are terrible.
Yeah. But yes, that's exactly right. Is you're just like they once the plot is revealed. So the cop starts putting it together. First, there's this weird interaction at the therapist's office where Esther gets the bird wrong, and even now Julia Stiles is like, and starts like,
yeah, not all parrots are macaws, but all macaws are parrots. Yeah, like
that's exactly it.
Yeah.
So,
but that's after she knows.
No.
Well, no, she talks to her like
the therapist says, you know, she mentioned the bird, but this wasn't the bird.
Right, but she doesn't. But she doesn't say that to her until she knows.
Right. She says it to her.
She says because like, you're an idiot.
So Esther, like, picks up on a snippet of conversation about about the bird at this office, and so she acts like she knows the bird, but the bird is a different bird now. And so, and then later, the mom calls her out on like I know what you were trying to do and you failed because you saw a bird and you assumed it was the same bird, but it wasn't the same bird,
you
because
dumbass.
I called it a parrot, but it's a macaw, and all macaws are parrots, not all. But yeah,
the mom is such a jerk. Yeah, it's revealed,
that's exactly it. There's a great like character flip for Julia Stiles where she is, you think she's this loving mother and she's being
off to her,
and
because
then she flips it.
Her performance is very believable as the mother who just got her daughter back after 4 years, and then when it flips and you're like, oh, she needs to go.
Right.
Like,
and
really
she does
good.
In pretty impressive fashion.
Spoilers.
That's what I'm doing. So
no, that's why I meant spoilers.
Oh, sorry. Right.
Get to it.
So this cop starts putting it together and is like, this doesn't make any sense. Esther goes,
he's taking photos like he's a PI, and you're just like, what? Why? Who? What is he investigating?
Well, because none of this makes sense to him, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he worked the daughter's case before.
No, I know. I mean, before we know the reveal in your head, I'm thinking, what is? And, which is great because now you're like, well, he's on to Esther. But no, that's the twist, is he's on to the mom and brother. So it's that second watch.
See, I was thinking he's on to Esther, which was going to lead him to the mom.
He's on to.
Well, he's on to Esther. Only because he doesn't, he knows that kid doesn't exist.
But he wouldn't be there in the first place, because is the audience, the first time you watch this, you're thinking, what clues does he have that might not be really Esther?
Right.
But it's because he's already been on the case for four years.
I got
now
you.
He's like, well, I think she's dead. There's been evidence. I can't prove it, but I think she's dead. And now she shows up. There's no way.
Right. That's a good point. I read it as he was like, this doesn't make sense. And that was like it was the final piece to get to the mom and brother, but he's already on to the mom and brother.
It's a smart screenplay. And I also liked it was a little cutesy, but I did like it. The way this movie's written, there are so many lines like the dad says, I can't believe it's really you. Like, they're winking. The audience knows it's not.
Right.
And they keep making the mom, the brother, the dad, they keep saying things that are like a little nod, like,
oh, sure.
That are contrary to the truth.
They kind of do that in the first one. I think in the first one that Vera Farmiga has like a drinking problem, or
she drinks, and yes, she does have a drinking problem because she keeps buying liquor but not drinking it. And
right.
Like she's clean, but she hasn't gone through any sort of programs.
Yes.
So she's white knuckling her way through an alcohol addiction.
Esther starts to like throw little like, Emma, you had this drink over here, and like, so anything that Vera Farmiga would say would come off as like crazy drunk speak.
Yeah. Right.
So that
she's
Esther
gaslighting.
It's exactly what it is.
So I like in this one, one of the lines that I remember is, I think the mom says like, you look like a different person, or you're all grown up. You're a grown lady.
Yes.
Like, they keep in the script saying things that are these.
Can
fun.
I tell you, that was one of my favorite parts of She-Hulk. Is when Jen is interviewing the Abomination.
Yeah.
And she says that he's made amends or whatever to Bruce.
Oh,
and
the
Bruce
nod.
Is like, yeah, I was a totally different person back then. And I was like,
that's exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah. There's the movie is written in a way where
it's
saying
meta.
That,
yes.
Yeah. And I like it. It was clever the way they kept doing it because it didn't sound wink and nod,
but
if
it works.
Listen,
so
you pick it up. It's like,
So. It never veers into camp.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See, I think it does veer into camp.
Not
like
that
Malignant.
Aspect of it.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
I don't think, you know, but yeah, this movie is a little campy.
This is like an 80s straight to VHS movie all day. Like if this had come out in the 80s, this would have been like a horror movie boom in the 80s, like VHS era.
Right.
This is a horror. This is maybe being
the equivalent of that.
To and me, I mean, I don't mean that in a bad way.
Like, yeah.
I think
it just didn't seem like I was impressed with how good the movie was. I thought I really expected this to kind of be. I don't want to say there's a lot of good streaming movies out there, but you know how we used to call things straight to video.
Right. Yeah.
I was thinking maybe this was a kind of a cash grab. We have this IP from 12 years ago. Now I realize. and let's cash in on it and make a streaming movie. And I'm thinking, like, oh, is this going to be any good?
Was this in theaters or was it straight to Paramount?
I think they released them simultaneously.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was really impressed with from the production, the acting. They did a good job with this film.
Yeah. No, and also, I mean, we kind of touched around it, is just the practical effects that they used to give you the depth perception that Esther is 3'2".
And which is why it doesn't stand out like a sore thumb. You know, that's the thing, is if they just CG'd it all,
it'd have been real bad.
It can be rough.
But I think, so what they did with this is they did some forced perspective where they filmed it in a way that Esther looks significantly shorter. They put all of the main actors, anytime they had a scene with the actual actress, they were wearing like lifts. Like 2 to 3 inch lifts in their shoes.
I think I saw something on social media now, and I didn't really pay attention because I didn't know the movie and the actors. But now I've seen people on Twitter around the time, like last month when this movie got released, where they're up on a platform or have the big shoes or whatever. Now it makes sense. Yeah.
And then the other thing they did is they would do, again, they got better at the cuts as the movie went on, but they would do these weird cuts.
I don't know if they got better or the movie got better.
Maybe.
And so
maybe that's what it is.
You stopped you started focusing on the story instead of
what they were going to do.
Instead of the other aspect.
What was the weird cuts? I can't think of it. I mean, so I know there were times where you would see her full body.
You would see her from the front. And then she would have to like walk away from something or run away.
Or like they go hug the mom and you see a full body. So it's clearly a different person.
Yeah, but then they would like flip it. Okay. Real, like, you know, it's just an awkward cut where they she would run at the camera and then the camera would flip and then it's like a child running away. So Esther is going to kill the cop, and I think this is one of the best twists I've ever seen is where the cop thinks the mom has figured it out. Right. So the cop has been stabbed. He's laying on the ground and he was like, ha ha, like, I'm not the only one who figured it out. And the camera pans back to Julia Stiles and you're like, oh no. Like, and then you look at the time and you're like, we have a lot of movie left.
Right.
Like, what?
This is a great twist reveal. I did not see this coming.
And then Julia Stiles shoots the cop.
And I'm like, why would you do that?
What is happening? And then of course the reveal that the brother, Chance or Chad or whatever, the
Gunner.
Is that really his name?
Gunner, yes.
I rest my case.
Yeah, I was like, these people are so rich conservative, they name their child after a gun.
This is my son, AR-15.
I think it's G-U-N-N-A-R. Like, it's not like you're a gunner.
That's even worse.
Yeah.
So we get the reveal that Gunner accidentally pushed accidentally, in a fit of rage, which we do get a recreation of what I assume is what happened.
I didn't pick up on that when he did it, he was doing what he did to the
exactly
real one.
Exactly the same thing. Pushed his sister down the steps, killed her, and then the mom, knowing that it would break everything, covered it up, protecting her son.
See, crime doesn't pay.
What?
If they didn't cover this up, they wouldn't have a crazy killer coming to their house, impersonating.
That's fair.
This is a great...
I see where you're going with that.
Yeah. It's a great PSA. Do not cover up a crime. You will have a crazy woman
a
posing
disease.
As a child.
Who Julia Stiles...
Or you'll become president of the United States.
Ta-da! Oh. Who Julia Stiles does often refer to as like a genetic freak. Randomly in this movie, I was like, dang, that is a...
But she's a bad guy.
She's a villain.
That's true.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, that's
it's different
from a filmmaking standpoint. It's okay to let the slave master use the N-word.
Right.
They're bad.
Talk to Quentin Tarantino; he'll tell you.
Yeah,
yeah. So they kill the cop. They go home, and this is where it's just like, well, this is a completely different movie now.
Now we have to
like blackmail the murder, your monster. We have to blackmail the monster
this
into
is crazy.
Playing.
Just crazy that the killer, like the Jason, the Michael Myers, is now the one getting blackmailed.
And I also like the fact that it doesn't feel like a reach, right? Like she sought out a family on a missing children's website, so like it doesn't feel crazy that she landed in this situation,
right.
it doesn't feel like a plot device. I mean, I know it's a plot device, but it doesn't feel like one because she kicked it off. I'm going to go to a missing children's website and find a missing child who looks like me.
Right.
And she just happened to find one where they weren't really missing. It was a murder, which seems plausible.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
Like,
right.
So, yeah.
There's another scene where I think that she, like, Esther is painting with her not dad and is like doing the same thing he did to Skarsgård, where she's like making moves on him, and he's like, and he doesn't. Does he? I'm trying to think if he says he's like, what the fuck?
No, he doesn't pick up on it. He just
right, like
she's
he just, yeah, he
sweet,
seems
like,
blissfully unaware
because his daughter's back.
He just interprets it as my daughter,
right?
Like, and so interprets it as familial affection.
And I love when Julia Stiles is just like, "What do you think you're doing? Like, you think you're gonna sleep with him? Like, you're out of your mind."
And she's so evil in the way she's like, "I'm gonna go upstairs and sleep with my husband," which is great. I mean, her performance is fantastic. You hate her, and so much so you're like, "Can Esther, the
can
psycho
we get on
murderer, can you please kill these people?"
Yeah.
So there's the dad, I guess, he's a painter, and he's going to
and he stopped painting because his child's disappearance. So
right.
So he hasn't been himself. And the reason why Julia Stiles wants to go along with all this, instead of just calling this murderer out and whatever, taking care of her right away or whatever, she's like, "No, I need him back."
Well, he's back, right? Like they get him back when Esther shows up, right? So the dad's going on this trip, and it looks like Esther's about to push both Julia Stiles and the brother off the platform, and then gets stopped
by a rando passerby.
Is that what it was?
Yeah. He just runs into him.
Yeah.
She's got a canister with the dad's artwork.
That's
he's
what
bringing
it was.
On the trip.
Yeah.
He's going to get coffees, and you see her walk around the platform from behind them. And she's about to just use it to
push
the two of them
right.
as the train's coming. And this guy's like, "Oh, watch where you're going, little girl." And she's like, "Ah." It's like Sideshow Bob.
She does.
She
stepping on rakes as it constantly. So
that would have been a pretty funny, like, if they went a totally a different direction.
Yeah.
The whole movie's about Esther trying to kill these two awful,
like,
worst murderers.
And is thwarted.
Yeah.
Like a Pink Panther movie. It's,
exactly.
She's got an Acme, like, bomb kit that just won't work.
Yeah.
So this is another where, so Esther runs away, and she, well, I guess they're walking away, and she goes, what were you going to kill us.
You think you can kill me?
And she goes, and I do like that Julius, I was like, that's it. We're done. Like, we're ending this now. And so Esther grabs, like, bear spray from her purse and sprays Gunner in the face and steals the car keys and takes off. And just in another weird scene where she being Esther, is driving down the road and she starts putting on lipstick and then smoking a cigarette.
And
she's got her little hat on and the cop pulls her over. I wouldn't even know what to do. In a situation, right?
You saw a supposed 14-year-old driving around with a cigarette.
I think she's supposed to be even younger than that.
Yeah, because she's supposed to be, I think she was supposed to be 9 in the first movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
So she's like 10.
Oh, wait, no, but the character she's playing here, because she's playing a character.
Yes.
Her character is playing a character. So
right.
Yeah, she's supposed to be 14.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
So they send Esther back home to Julia Stiles.
Which is only a couple years before driving. So, like, I mean, it's not implausible she would
know how
to drive.
It's the way she's sitting in that chair where she's like, "What's up?"
Like an adult, yeah.
Yeah, right.
But she's trying to play it like she's 40.
Yeah.
Like, she looks like she's Jacqueline Onassis.
Yeah.
You know?
And
it's
she's great. Like, "What? Why did you pull me over?"
Yeah.
So they go, and this is where she's like, you know, that's it, we're done. Julia Stiles, they're going to kill her.
And she stomps upstairs, and then the mom to the brother is
like
we're
doing
this now.
We're doing this now. So they push her down the steps, or she falls down in the recreation of what we assume happened to Esther in the beginning.
They're having a kerfluffle. They're fighting and whatever, and then the brother gets her at the stairs and just throws her.
Throws her down the steps. And at this point, the dad calls. So Julia Stiles is like, "Nope, everything's fine. Love you, bye." He's like, "You know what? I think I'm going to come home. I think I'm going to." She's like, no. Just okay, fine. Can you take a cab?
Yeah, I'm
like,
a little busy.
Yeah, I'm not coming to pick you up." And of course, the brother's looking where the body was, and Esther's gone. And
Michael
very,
Myers.
Very
is
typical.
It.
Yeah, exactly. Slasher fashion. They end up, I think the brother and Esther end up in like the dad's art studio, and Esther murders the brother. Does she stab him?
She shoots him with a crossbow.
That's what it
that's
is.
And
right.
then
yeah.
furiously stabs him.
Yes, that's right. Very
like
much
he's
like,
"I'm going to fence you to death." And
she's
like,
"Okay."
It was like we get Chekhov's fencing, and then it's like, "I totally forgot about Chekhov's crossbow."
They do another one in this movie, too. What's the other Chekhov's? Oh, with the cop that he puts the knife in the cutting board, and they focus on the knife, and then they come back later, and you see it's missing.
It's missing. It's the Indiana Jones, going back to that, and the gun with the sword.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, we're done.
It's a great improv.
It is a great improv. Yeah.
I mean, it does mean that the hero of our film shot an unarmed man. But go on.
He was armed. He had a sword.
He was 60 feet away.
You're not wrong.
But he was going to come kill him if he didn't shoot him.
Well, eventually.
Yeah. Well, when he walked towards him, he could have just not pushed him into the propeller like that other guy. So I'm trying to... Oh, they get up. The house at this point is catching on fire. I don't remember how.
That's the other Chekhov's fire. I thought earlier in the movie when Gunner was having his little party and the mom and dad are coming back from the gala, he says, "Oh, this kid's pretty good. At my age, I would have set the house on fire."
Oh,
I was waiting for, and then it didn't happen immediately, so I forgot about it.
That's kind of a wink because you know from the first movie that this house is going to burn down.
They tell you because
they tell you what happened.
They tell you that the family she was with prior, like the family all died in a house fire.
Right.
So you
I forgot about that part.
You know if you're familiar with the first movie, if you remember it.
Right.
Joe,
thanks. Six concussions.
Then you know that like this house has to burn down.
Right.
Which is a little bit of a stretch because the family died in a house fire. Well, the son was crossbowed and he was in the house.
Right.
The parents fell and hit their head on the curb outside the house.
That's true.
Those two were not in the house fire.
But you could also read that is they jumped out of the window.
Yeah,
they went to the roof,
true.
Tried to get away from the fire, and they fell off the roof. Like there are ways.
And I was only teasing, honestly.
Yeah.
Can't explain the brother.
Well, but you don't know how much of his remains were left.
I guess that's true.
I mean,
totally.
This was a pretty bad fire.
That's true.
I mean, also from an effect standpoint, this is the worst effect in the whole movie.
It's real bad.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It is real bad.
This is almost as bad as the flaming fire tracks from Back to the Future. Like, those are bad. Like, that movie's great. Nobody ever talks about how bad those effects are.
Pretty bad.
They're literally standing on the flame.
No, of course you don't. It doesn't bother you. Like, nobody cares because the movie's
because everything
great.
Else about the movie is amazing. So you just kind of like, well, they screwed up.
I've just never really thought about it.
Like they when they superimpose the flaming fire tracks, like
it's touching.
Michael J. Fox is literally standing in the middle of fire.
Yeah, I was always wondering how they did that. Honestly, like it never bothered me, and I was like, I guess they have fire retardant pants on or something. I just never thought about
I just assumed it's superimposed.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah, and I just that's funny because I never thought so. Yeah, I was only teasing about the other thing, like the retcon. But it's a shame. I was going to bring up the fire thing. It's a shame this is at the end of the movie because I think this movie is so good.
Yeah.
And then you get to the finale and the fire's so bad.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. That you're like, see, that's what I thought the whole movie was going to be, that quality of
filmmaking. Oh,
I see. If in the beginning of the movie they had a fire and it was fake like that, the whole movie you'd be like, well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It would take you out of it.
Where now you're just like, this is these effects are awful, but
I gave
so
it a pass.
I've got 4 minutes left, and it's been great up till now.
And I enjoyed the whole movie, so it worked at least to not ruin the movie. But it's a shame because now
it's probably like if your wife cheats on you when you're like 80.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know? Go for it. I don't care.
You're like, you know, like, we had a good run.
We had a good run.
Like, you were good the first 60 years. What am I going to do about it now?
Well, 60, that means there's still 20 more out there.
Mine probably doesn't work anymore.
Hey, man, go get yours.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they get Julia Stiles and Esther get to the roof. And they're fighting on the roof. And of course, now they're both hanging off of the roof. And here comes the dad. And Julia Stiles is like, she's not Esther. She's bubble. You know, she's crazy. She's this. She's that.
People are always so strong in these movies.
Yeah.
In real life, I mean, unless you're a tonal guy, you're just
you
hang.
Need a lot of upper body strength
to hold on to one
just
person.
To hang.
With one oh
no,
oh,
no just to hang.
Yeah,
there. The long. I mean, you can do it for several seconds, right?
Yeah.
But like when you're there for 2 minutes and there's a person next to you and you're scuffling and you know it's just. Most people do not have the upper body strength
to hang on.
Yeah. So it's just always, it's just a movie trope.
It is. It is very much.
And also when like, give me your hand. Like, you know how hard it is to pull the person up?
Not going to happen.
Hand. Yeah.
And it's always like an older person.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah.
But I love the way they construct the scene where basically not only does he have to decide who he has to decide which one he's going to say.
Correct.
Like that's
there's
great.
People got only one choice.
Yeah.
And he doesn't choose Julia Stiles.
Yes.
This movie is brutal and not.
But that's the choice, right? Like, if you're forced in a situation between saving your spouse or your child,
I love you, but
you pick the kid.
Yeah,
and so like he makes the quote unquote right choice,
and he's still the good guy.
Yeah,
right.
Well, for sure. It's an impossible situation. You're not a bad guy no matter what choice you make.
Well, I mean, you could be if he knew going in, right? If he knows, he knows, and he saves Esther instead, you're the bad guy. But
clearly, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you're not a bad guy for making that choice. He doesn't know. You know, it's just you're not a bad guy. If you don't know,
you're a bad guy.
Yeah. You're a bad guy.
Yeah, you're a bad guy.
But the kills are brutal in this movie. From the beginning, when she slams the security guard's head into the wall.
Also,
the cell.
I call kind of bull on that. I don't think she's strong enough to smash that guy's head in, right? If Michael Myers does it from Rob Zombie's Halloween, that makes sense.
That's the part where I didn't know if there was a supernatural, like watching this for the first time and not knowing the other one. I was kind of curious.
Are you telling me that a 14-year-old could swing my head into a wall?
But she's not a 14-year-old.
But she's got the body of a 14-year-old.
But she could maybe have the muscle tone. There's some people that are really skinny that have incredible strength.
That's fair. That's
so
fair.
Since she's an adult, maybe she has the dense muscle fibers. So even though
I don't know, I feel like she'd still have the, like, if we're saying that she still has the in the body of a 14-year-old.
Well, they basically say the glandular disorder stops her from growing, like aging, but they don't ever say that like her
muscles
atrophy or anything.
She's like baby Hercules.
Yeah. So, but. Either way.
She smashes
the head against the wall.
Blood
the candy
everywhere.
Lady is mm-hmm. stabbing a security guard like crazy, and blood's going on the wall. And
she's beating him with a nightstick.
Yeah. The nightstick is splattering the blood.
Right.
And then when she kills the brother,
when she kills the therapist, right? Like that therapist is at the bottom. When she goes and finds Esther's like bio, at the therapist's house. Yeah, remember she kills that therapist.
I didn't remember that.
Yeah, she knocks her down the steps, remember?
She kills the cop, but she stabs the cop in the back a lot.
Yeah, when she kills that therapist in the very beginning of the movie, and she was like, the therapist falls down the steps.
Oh, I'm sorry, there's another therapist
with a bird.
No, not
the one in America, the one in Russia.
I'm sorry. Yes, she is. That's brutal, because she's like, usually it only takes one.
That's one of my favorite lines of this movie, is where she's like, oh. Usually it only takes one.
And you think she already killed the beginning movie therapist,
right.
Not Janet Leigh style kill. And then she comes back to finish her. And so that's brutal. So you see blood splatter on her face. So the kills are very brutal. The brothers, especially.
Yep.
She's killing him. But so Julia Stiles falls. And it's not just like, oh, the impact of hitting the ground killed me. No, her head hits a curb and blood splatters
blood
on the
Blood and
street.
Brains. Like splatters into the street. Yeah. So the dad's like, oh, what's going on? I don't understand. And Esther goes, we did it. Like, we can be together. We can do this. And he's got his hands like on the side of her face. And I don't remember this, if they did this in the first one or not.
Her teeth fall out, her false teeth fall
out. But that's
you. They don't fall out accidentally, but when they're doing the reveal, they show her.
Is that what it was?
Taking off the things. And so she has like fake teeth to hide how bad her
gnarly
teeth are.
Teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the dad's like, got her.
Because they don't have fluoride in the water in Estonia.
I guess. Can you blame them?
Yeah. I don't know.
No.
Maybe they do. I don't know. Like, it could be our cultural.
This is it. 7:08. We're done.
I think it's more just that she doesn't have kid teeth. Because as a kid.
But they're gross.
Yeah. They're like brown and gnarly.
Yeah. Like they're
just a little yellow in this one.
Yeah. Right? Which I thought was a bit of a flaw in the film. Because in the second one. When she takes them off, those teeth are like way more than just a little yellow.
And
the time hasn't passed.
She's getting adopted.
It would be like 6 weeks
if
later.
That, okay.
Yeah.
So that is a big retcon then.
She definitely has fake teeth, or veneers.
They did not get decayed that quickly.
Right.
She just looks like she smokes in this one or something. Just a little yellow and not kitten.
Drinking some coffee.
Yeah, like when you see them, like, they're gross.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is what I thought, because I think I've seen clips or whatever of her taking them out and they're gross. Like, I've seen that, like, even though I haven't seen the first one, you know how you just somehow see gifs or
pop culture osmosis.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time.
But this is a horrible for the dad. So the dad is a good, the dad's a good person.
Yeah.
He doesn't know about the murder of his real daughter.
He just wanted his daughter back.
And this whole time he's innocent while the wife and son are playing this trick on him. You know, they're pulling this con. And so you feel bad for him. And now he didn't save his... Well, the wife was bad, so you don't feel... But he doesn't know that.
Right.
And so his last moments are him being tricked, and I chose the wrong one. And now this crazy person is trying to hook up with me when my wife just died.
Right.
But no, I think it's a great scene when he's got his hands on the side of her face, and his hands just kind of like touch the sides of her teeth
and then
knocks the veneers out, and he's just like, what is happening?
And says, we can be together.
And he was like, no. And then
she's like, what the? He drops an F-bomb.
He's like, not with teeth like that?
Yeah, what are you, crazy?
Yeah.
And then she doesn't necessarily like kill him, but he stumbles.
He falls backwards, and like I think the roof is wet. I think it's raining, or either way.
Either way, they're on a roof on a fire.
Off, right. He slips off the roof, and then he doesn't get the same curb treatment that Julia Stiles gets.
This is
he
the
just,
impact.
Just the, his body crumples.
When you fall off a castle, it's
That's
still
true.
Pretty fall.
Yeah, of course, of course.
Probably a three-story or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
So the, you know, the cops show up. This house, like we talked about, we knew this house was going to go up in flames. And then she being Esther, is back in... I guess DFS is the best way to describe it.
And but they're basically doing the lead into the next movie they're like, oh,
who's
going to
adopt
her family?
Who's going to do this? And then that we know that poor Peter Sarsgaard. Sarsgaard.
He's sorry he's not a Sarsgaard, so he's Sarsgaard. That's our mnemonic device.
It's your mnemonic device.
No, hey, that
well, it works.
That's good.
Yeah, he's thanks, sorry.
Stephanie,
he's not
thanks,
a Skarsgård.
Stephanie Tanner. That was pretty good. That's how I learned what a mnemonic device was. Yeah, so we know that poor Vera Farmiga and Skarsgård.
No, Sarsgaard. He's sorry. He's not a Skarsgård.
Sarsgaard is going to meet a similar fate. But I think he's a little creepier, I think. Because he almost...
He's like into it?
I think so.
Yeah,
it's
like,
been a minute, but it's like not their daughter,
like
right?
He always plays so weird.
He does play
that,
weird.
You can't really tell if
that
he's
you
being
can,
weird.
You can't tell if like, is he down for this?
Right.
Or is he just like this kind of weird, slightly disconnected?
Sure.
He's like Christopher Walken in that way, right?
I can
like,
see that.
Like, you're like, I
or
can't.
Nick Cage. He just has his own thing to where...
And he's got this weird cadence to how he talks to where you're just like, I don't know... He always seems like, even when he's playing somebody who's decent, he seems like he's pretending to be
to be
decent,
good to be decent,
right?
Yeah,
like
right,
it's,
right.
Yeah. So it's like, which was also part of what gave you the weird vibe in the first one, because you're just like,
is
wait, is this what like? And then you immediately feel like you're the weirdo for even thinking.
What was I
something
thinking?
Like,
oh yeah. Wait,
maybe like, he's in an Edgar suit.
I made that joke the other day, and nobody got it at my house. I was like, what are you? Somebody said something about sugar water. And I was like, what are you like, Vincent D'Onofrio? And they're like, what? Get out of my house. And that's how this movie ends. It's like the social worker and a nurse are talking. They're watching her paint or draw a picture. And that's how the movie opens.
Yeah, do they? I was wondering if they recreated the beginning of the last
one. I think it's been a while since I've seen that, and I should have rewatched it.
I just rewatched, but I don't remember how it opened.
I think it was almost like an Annabelle...
Yeah.
Comes home.
So she would have a lot of money coming with her. I mean, those parents were loaded.
Yeah, but does she get...
But the only way to have the to get access to that money is to go back and claim that you're the daughter, where if she claims she's the daughter...
But if there's nobody
there...
Well,
they know she's the daughter.
If there's nobody there to prove that you're not the daughter...
The daughter, she came from the house on fire. Her parents died in a fire. They know that. That money would have to come with her.
Probably.
Yeah,
she doesn't have to prove it. Everyone thinks she's the daughter.
And there's nobody left to say that she's not.
Right.
Besides,
I mean,
the
she's
cop.
The last,
yeah, I mean, that would be a...
The cop or the therapist, right? Like, those are the two that...
That'd be a big gamble, though. That's a lot. I mean, eyes turn on you when there's that much money, and you're the only survivor.
But she's a kid, though. The adults, the police, I mean, they just legally, she's the heir to that money. So, I mean, I just figured they would set it up for her. Apparently she dies too early to claim it because she's a kid and it would go into a trust.
Oh, that's fair.
I was just saying that, like,
maybe she's killing time because it's in a trust.
Because she would get when she's
18.
Vera Farmiga
gets it.
Yeah.
It works out great.
What do they do in that situation? You adopt a serial killer posing to be a rich heiress.
Well, no, because Vera Farmiga kills her, but she kills her by proving that she's not Esther, so she would no longer have a tie to that money.
So that money goes to some
stupid Vera
Farmiga. Cousin, the dad or the mom's
sibling.
The government gets it.
No,
well,
it would go to
it
next.
Really?
It would go to a
if there is one. Like, we don't know.
Right. No, of course. I mean, if there isn't. Yeah.
I wonder how often that happens.
A lot.
Interesting.
Yeah. Right. That's why wills and estate planning are very important, people. That's the whole reason behind this episode. So
get your affairs in order.
This is sponsored by LegalZoom.com.
Use promo code RealSpoilers at checkout.
I think that, like we talked, it's on Paramount Plus. I think you can get like a 7-day free trial.
If you have Walmart Plus, it's free for a year, which is nice savings. Yeah. So,
but you also get Showtime.
Paramount
and Showtime are merging, but I don't know if it's happened yet.
It's for extra. It's $12.99.
But like, I thought Paramount Plus and Showtime were merging. Like, not they have this promo deal, but I thought I read that they were merging.
Is Paramount buying Showtime?
I don't know.
I don't think so because,
Paramount
maybe it
buy
has
anything. They don't. They've got a parent company, right? They're not solo.
Viacom, CBS Viacom.
Oh, okay. Okay.
But I mean,
couldn't
I just,
be any worse than Warner Brothers Discovery.
Because the other day they just popped up. So I presume it's part of the new deal. It just popped up and said, do you want to add Showtime?
Yeah.
It's $12.99.
So I signed up. I got a free trial and it said for $12.99, you could add all of the Showtime stuff.
Yeah. So for Walmart Plus, if you have that, it's like I think it's $10 a month, but you get free delivery and stuff from Walmart. And then you get a $60 year subscription to Paramount Plus. So, it's a really good value for $120 if you want to get your groceries and stuff delivered from Walmart for free.
And also, if you get Showtime, you can watch Yellow Jackets, which I cannot recommend enough.
That was a good one.
It was great.
Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. I've heard
it's fantastic. Oh, it's really good. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you guys would dig it.
But they got a lot of good movies and shows on there.
Do they?
Yeah.
I'll have to flip through it. There you go.
Yeah, well, there.
Go honestly, go watch it.
Like, this movie was a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun.
I liked The First Orphan despite myself. I spent the first 90 minutes of an hour and 50-minute movie being like, this is kind of dumb. And then at the end being like, okay, this was kind of awesome. And then I thought I totally went in this like, why are we doing this 13 years later?
Right.
Like this has no right to be as good or as fun as it was.
None whatsoever.
Like I fully expected to despise every minute of this film.
Yep.
And
this
is why you watch them. Sometimes they surprise you.
They sneak up on you.
Sometimes it's a cash grab. 13 years later trying to cash in on IP, and sometimes they've got a story.
Yeah.
And they did with this one.
And I think this is the same creative team, too.
Yeah, so it's a different director.
Okay.
But, like, I think the guy who wrote it is the same guy. Yeah.
And it's also,
I think she helped, the actress that plays Esther, like,
Isabel
had some.
Furman.
Yeah.
I did want to mention the production studio.
Okay.
Which was a dark. It's not Ghost House. It's the other one, Dark Castle, which were like a really big horror movie like production company in the early 2000s, I think.
Oh, right. They came back?
I'm trying to think of like, they did like the House on Haunted Hill remake, which is really good. Like that's a good little remake with Ty Diggs. When he was popular. Yeah.
I don't think that's early 2000s. I think that's 90s.
It is 1999. Yeah. And then Orphan was 2009 and then this was 2000. But they were like in the middle of that horror boom in the late 90s, early 2000s with like Ghost House and all that stuff. But it's fun to see. I saw that logo. I was like, oh, dang.
Yeah.
Now I don't know what to expect. Maybe they did 13 Ghosts.
Okay.
Which was fun. Like,
wasn't that a Scooby-Doo episode?
Yes. But like it's with Tony Shalhoub and Shannon Elizabeth when they were popular.
Isn't that Matthew Lillard?
Lillard as well. And if you haven't seen
Scooby-Doo.
That,
I told you. Scooby-Doo.
That's a series, the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo.
Yeah. I highly recommend the remake of 13 Ghosts. If you like this.
After Matthew Lillard, there's another remake or that is a remake?
The 13 Ghosts with Matthew Lillard is a remake.
Okay.
They actually, the fun gag with the original one is you had lenses and when they would tell you put on the glasses,
you would see different
things? Would see ghosts.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was like the original gimmick of the first movie.
What year? How old is it?
Oh, it's black
80s?
And white. No, it's the original one's like black and white.
Okay.
It's great too.
This film was directed by William Brent Bell and written by David Cogshall, David Leslie, Johnson McGoldrick. That's a name.
Yeah, that sounds like a law firm.
Yeah, four names. And Alex Mace, story by Alex Mace. And I just wanted to mention the only thing about this that I liked the movie a lot, like I said, but I didn't think it was very scary. It was more of a thriller. Yeah, the kills were more like, to me, like action, like, oh man, that's a crazy kill. But I don't think the only scary moment was in the beginning when that therapist, there's a flashing red light because she's escaped.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes dark and she's like, hey, little girl, do your parents work here? And it goes black and then the red light shines and she's right in her face. Like that was a scare. But throughout the movie, I can't think of any.
I don't think it's particularly scary.
No.
It's more of a psychological thriller.
I think it's this is the.
With graphic kills.
This is the gory 80s VHS era style. Also, Dark Castle did Ghost Ship. If you haven't seen that, watch the first 10 minutes.
It's my daddy worked on a ghost ship.
It is the greatest first 10 minutes you'll ever see in a horror movie.
What? No, that's
I promise you, just watch the first 10 minutes of Ghost. It may be first five. Okay. It is astounding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Carl Urban's in it?
Sure. Carl Urban was in all kinds of stuff before
that's
he was
cool.
in The Boys. Yeah, there you go.
So anyway, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21. That's also how you know it's me because the robot voice said Twitter and not Tweeter.
Oh, see? And you would think that the robot voice would say things wrong.
No, I do. The real one does.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter. Oh, am I real? Am I a robot?
Wait a minute.
See? You'll never know. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online, facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. And, of course, don't forget our Patreon, patreon.com/Real Spoilers, where for $5 a month you get all sorts of bonus content. So that's it for this one. Thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Sykes is killed by the police.
Get ready for a spoiler. Won't say it twice because we already warned you. Better watch out. It's gonna ruin the plot. Real spoilers. Real spoilers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.